Well, good morning, friends. My name's Austin. I'm one of the pastors here. And one of the things that we do each month, at the first week of the month, we have what we call a Discipleship Sunday. And this is a core characteristic of who we are, because we believe discipleship is not just a talking at you, but a talking with you. That we believe we know Jesus better by how we hold each other's stories and how we learn who God is and how we interact with becoming disciples of Jesus. And so this morning, what we do is we have more of a time of wondering, questions, sharing stories, as we kind of process what does it look like in our life of discipleship. This is one of our core values and our cultural commitments, is to be a church that develops disciples, that we have a disciple-making culture here, not only of deepening our relationship with Jesus, but also making disciples of Jesus. And so what you'll see around the room is you will have three people that will be have mics for you as we continue to have the discussion about who we are becoming as we become disciples of Jesus, as we be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. And so this morning, one of the things that we are talking about, particularly our theme for this morning, is relational discipleship. Which means, give you a little context, this doesn't mean that we're going to have somebody stand up with a microphone and then just yell at you about the gospel of Jesus. Right? I know some people went to the Mariners game last night, and every time you go there, you experience a couple people that are out there yelling at you. There is a way of evangelism, but when we talk about in discipleship, it looks different. It is not a conversation at you, but it's a conversation with you. And so this morning, I want to look at this scripture of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And this is the text that we're going to be understanding. What does discipleship look like? What does relational discipleship look like? So it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, we come relying on you, not on our own goodness, not on our own merit. We come because we desperately need you. For some of us, this week flew by. Some of it inched along. And for each of us, we can't survive without you. So God, send your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see one another. Give us ears to hear one another. Give us a heart to know you and a mind. We ask this in your name. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible, whether it's on your phone or you have a physical one, keep it open, because we're going to ask things of the text that you saw. And so one of the questions that we want to talk about is, what type of community do you see here happening? When you read that text, and maybe you read it before, maybe this is the first time you read it, what is happening in the text, and what is happening in the community? What do you see described as? And so there's, again, runners on your mark, get set, go. So if you just like raise your hand, and then we'll kind of have a runner. What community do you see here? It always starts slow. We'll have a brave person. What type of community do you see? Oh, yeah. It's, what color is it? Blue? Yeah.
Green.
It's green? Yep. Yeah. Okay, just go ahead. We'll get you.
Yeah. So I'm part of the youth group team here. I'm a company by it. I've been with high schoolers for about 4 or 5 years at this point. And what I see is a community of curiosity. I see a community of curiosity, one that's not afraid to ask questions, that wants to grow and show that love to their middle school.
Yeah.
So when grow, mm-hmm. learn.
Yeah. When you read the text, when you look at the first church, what community do you see? What do you like about it? Yeah. Micah. It's all right. Go for it. You talk loud. I know you can talk loud.
I see
Okay. Yeah, they love each other. They want to have that that close-knit relationship. Yeah. What else? What do you see in the text about community? They shared meals together. Yup. Every day. Dang. Who's got calendar for me every day? Am I coming to lunch, dinner, breakfast? Yeah.
Sorry, but the favor of all the people, that it could be people like us.
Yeah, she said the favor of all people. They enjoyed the favor of all people. That's an interesting phrase, right? That they enjoyed the favor. Like they enjoyed the goodwill of all people that were around. And that meant some people that look like you, think like you, act like you. But then think of the people that don't. They still had favor amongst those people. There were still good relationships within those people. So the question is, not only community, I have a question. Who is doing life together? Like the who, who's behind the what they're doing? Who? I didn't do that. Oh, is it? Oh, there, Jesus, yeah. Yeah, who? Who's doing life together? Jesus is in and amongst. The Holy Spirit has yet to be fully laid upon. But remember, the disciples have had life breathed into them. This is the outflowing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is now with them. Who's doing community together? Who is it? Who's doing life together? Yeah, so you have all of the leaders and believers. Actually, runners, I'm going to have you come closer to the front so that if you just want to be right up here in the front kind of rows, that'd be awesome. The leaders, the believers, right? You had the apostles. You had other people that had just come to know Jesus through Peter's teaching and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Where do you see, I want to ask this deeper question. Where do you see connection in not just activity? I want you to expand on that a little bit more. It's easy to shout it out, but what do you say? When you say shared sacrifice, tell me more.
So they're each sacrificing for the church, and they're all selling off their possessions, which for most folks, it's not easy for me.
Yeah. Right, there's that connection because it's not just like some anonymous donor. Like we love anonymous donating, doing donations anonymously, but you know probably this person. You've been in community with the person who is sacrificing so that all can have what they need. Yeah. Where do you see connection and not just activity? If we'll go here and then there.
I think the reference to breaking bread may be a repetition of the Last Supper.
Yep.
And that would seem to be a really powerful activity and action that would unite them, I would think, as much or more than anything.
Yeah.
Is a breaking of bread together.
Yeah, the breaking of bread was not always communion the way we notice it. What it is a part of a bigger meal that is happening. In the same way that Jesus, when he had Passover, they ate a meal together, and then it says after supper. You gotta put those things together. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a community in purpose, not just their action. Like they're all common purpose for some reason.
Yeah, so that connection is the purpose, right? We talk about a lot of times in our discipleship, we have identity, meaning, and purpose. We're trying to figure that out. And the connection was that all three of those, for all of them, centered around Christ. Yeah.
So like Tuesdays together and when we're doing 6K is a way we are sharing what we have with the world.
Yes. So we're talking about how do we not only throw on activities as a church, how do we do it? How do we participate in the goodwill and the justice of the world, but not just putting on an activity and just having people sign up, but how do we connect them deeply to the rooted mission of Jesus? So I'm going to go a little bit now more into the vein, into the realm of discipleship. And I want to talk about this. And this is going to be personal for you. And so I want you to take a moment to think about it. But if you would like to share, I think this is really powerful for us when we talk about discipleship here with Jesus. The question that I want you to think about is, who helped you take a step towards Jesus?
My parents.
Yeah, parents.
A small group.
Small group. All right, simmer down now. Yeah, DC talk, right? The things that we listen to do things to us.
For me, it was strangers.
Tell me, can you tell me more about that?
I can. The first time was a person I was replacing in a workplace.
Oh.
And she took me to an event and talked nothing but of Jesus. I have no other memory of that event. It was a baby shower. And then the next time, was my 16-year-old neighbor, whom I did not know, who came and asked me if I could come out and she could share God's word with me. And she did. That was when we lived in Renton. The other was Schenectady, New York. And then the final, afternoon before I was saved, we went into a store in Wenatchee where we went to buy, it was called a phonograph in the old days, right? And we walked through the door, and this little man, 80-plus years old, came racing toward us and said, "What can I do for you today?" Mm. And we expressed our need, and he never showed us a thing. He began to pour out of his spirit the love of Christ and what Jesus had done in his life. Mm-hmm. And I walked out of there and I said, tomorrow morning I have to go to church. The Lord gave me the exact church to go to, and I accepted him that morning. So it was strangers.
What a powerful story. Not something we expect, right?
I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
My dad invited me to church this morning.
Oh, yes.
I'm a little jet-lagged. I just got back from South Africa. Oh. And who helped me take a step towards Jesus is my friend Adria. Mm. She bought a farm down there. And one of the experiences that she shared with us is that we made bread.
Mm.
And she had a mill.
Beautiful.
And we ground the wheat. And we made it together. And she helped remind us of the nutrients that God provides to us. So we prayed together. We ate together. We hadn't seen each other in 25 years. But she brought us to the table together. And I think it reminded us of the world and commercialism and all the things that get stripped away. And how Jesus has said, you don't take someone's mill. That stays with them. The bread of life. I am the bread of life.
Wow.
And it's very important in community that we come together and remember and separate ourselves from the things that are from the earth and the things that are from God.
Yeah. That's beautiful. A friend who would intentionally take the time to not only share what she has physically, but spiritually, that we aren't disconnected, disembodied. But the spiritual, the God who created all things, ebbs and flows, is weaved in and out. Yeah.
I had the privilege of having a Baptist minister live across the street from my house when I was a teenager. And he invited me to a revival meeting in the Salt Palace in Utah. And that's where I accepted the Lord.
Mm.
And I've walked with him ever since.
Yeah. So what we can hear is there's a variety of people, places, seasons of life where we individually were brought to somebody who said yes to Jesus' movement through the Holy Spirit to talk to you about Jesus. That might be parents, friends, strangers, grandparents, teachers, co-workers. If this is the way that you and I have experienced, and might I say the global church has maybe experienced finding out more about who Jesus is, what does that show you about how God works? What does that show you about how God works today? What are you seeing? What do you see that was the same back in the text that is the same God today? Say right
up. He works through people.
Could you grab the mic? I want you to see. I don't just take simple answers as a pastor. Sorry. Tell me more. He works through people. Well, yeah. So what?
I think Glenn can explain it. All right.
Yeah. Tell me more. Works through people.
So one of the things that I learned a long time ago that stuck with me is God has shown up in the temple. That's his place to show up.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, he showed up in the temple, and you can go and see him. And then that didn't really change people's behavior. And so in the New Testament, he shows up in the person of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the temple.
Hmm.
And what they do to Jesus, they killed him.
Yeah.
So in the New Testament period, in our age, he's shown up in the third temple. The Bible says, you are the temple of God.
Yeah.
And so these days, if people really want to see God, they don't go see a pillar of fire or cloud at a temple, and they don't necessarily go see Jesus. He's been ascended. But they can go see God through us. And if they're not seeing God, I think we're dropping the ball.
Mm.
So God expects us to be out there exemplifying Christian life so the world can see him through us.
That's really good. It's such a depth of, like, again, we remember that, you know, we talked about last week, we abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us. But also, in this moment, the giving of the Holy Spirit hasn't been for 2,000 years been a flame over our head. It's been resting inside of us. So good. What does it tell us about God and how he works? You gonna, yeah, let's go.
He still makes miracles.
Yes.
Like more people are joining Christ, learning about it from strangers, friends, family, and each day there's at least like lots of people joining Christ and going to church.
Yeah. God still does miracles. I mean, honestly, think about that. Still deciding to use people, I feel like that's a bad mission plan. I'm in the business of people, and I think that's a bad plan. But I think that's the thing. It's like, on our own, it's a bad plan. But when the Holy Spirit is present in your life, we've seen that through scriptures. God can break barriers that are unbreakable. He can heal things that are unhealable. See, I wonder if we like programs of discipleship, but we have a God who is all about relational discipleship. Been in ministry for so long. Yeah, one second. Could you grab a microphone? I'm going to finish one thing real quick. Been in church ministry for a long time. And the number one thing that we talk about is, how can I grow more in my relationship with Jesus? What we're asking is, what programs do you have that I can attend? What information can I get? But we just talked about, how does God work? God didn't have a program, didn't have a 365-day curriculum. He gave them a relationship with a miraculous God and a Holy Spirit. Yeah. Cora.
I agree about depending on people
yeah.
being a bad idea.
yes, somebody actually disagrees with me. Let's go.
And I was a therapist, so.
Yeah. We're in the same biz.
And I know myself.
Yeah.
And but I think what's required is vulnerability.
Mm.
It's the whole process, not a program and not perfection, but the process of being human and becoming more human, more like Christ.
Mm.
And as I fail, you can see me if I experience grace. And if you fail, you can experience grace through me if I can stay with you and be with you, like God Emmanuel, Jesus, with you, being with, in that relationship of vulnerability and intimacy, and that's a miracle.
Yes. The practice of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, isn't dependent on our perfection or our getting it right. But it's, I love it, becoming more human to make us connected to other humans who are broken, who are missing the mark. And yet that same grace that's extended to us is extended to them in getting to know Jesus. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, my parents had like a newer strain of COVID, and they were super sick. And my dad's obviously, he's been sick since I was 12, so I don't pray for him to get healthy very often. Because, being honest, as one of your pastors here, that's been a long time to pray for that, right? And I know health prayers are, that's a weird, touchy thing, right? That's all up to God. And I don't often put them on the prayer chain, but they were doing really bad. And I thought God said, well, put them on the prayer chain. I was like, okay, well, we're going to pray for my dad to get healthy again. That's about the billionth time I've done that. But I did it because I wanted to be obedient. And my dad called me about 5 hours after the urgent email went out. And he said, what did you do? And I said, I put you on the prayer chain. He said, I can breathe again. It just reminded me that that's how God works, that he wants us to be faithful and to follow after him. And we don't know why always. But so I just want to say thank you, church, for praying for my parents as well. So we serve a God who heals.
Yeah. And a witness, again, all these places of how we interact with our stories is how we share part of our lives and our witness to who Jesus is. That's discipleship. It's not only being formed deeply by God, but sharing that formation. So the question, I want to transition a little bit, but how would our whole, like if this discipleship model and the way that we're understanding the way that God works, how would our homes, meals, and everyday life change as we reflect on the text and the way that our God works in discipleship? Yeah. Spencer's coming. We got a mic coming.
Yeah, everything would change inside of your heart in the way you process and think, where everything is just temporary. And so when someone else needs something, you give them what you have. What you have, you're grateful for, and when it breaks or when it needs to go to someone, you just give it away because it's not yours, it's God's. Mm. Everything that you have is no longer just yours. And like keeping up with the Joneses kind of a thing, it's, everything changes where it's just me, my holy temple, and myself, and everything else is God's around me.
Yeah, I like that you said two things there. It's like, one, it first has to change the posture of your heart. Like, otherwise, it's just religion that we just do. The second thing is, I love that you said how once it shifts in your heart, all the temporal things become eternal things. It has the opportunity to not just transform today, but transform eternity. Beautiful. Yeah.
I think with that shift in our heart, it also ends up pouring out into the actions and the words we speak to other people. And then, like in verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So it shows that when you have that transformation in your heart and your true devotion and your want to live for Jesus and for his glory, it shows to other people, and there's this thing about you that the world doesn't give, so you stand out and people can know the Lord through that. Because in verse 47 it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So it's through you acting differently than people who are not saved yet are acting, by acting in the ways of the world, or by not acting like the ways of the world, it shows something different about you, and the Lord uses that to help other people know him through you standing out in that way.
Yeah, I love that. Can we broaden our understanding of the miraculous things that God did, the signs and wonders? Can we not just limit signs and wonders to being things that happen in the sky, the star that led to Bethlehem? Can we change it to people that we would never be with now that we are with? Relationships that should never form are forming. Things that couldn't be healed are healed. Like, one of the things is, yes, you do see throughout the Gospels and in Acts, healing, miraculous things happen. But what do you see more and more happening? The fruits of the Spirit, like grace, or like peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Those are miraculous things in your life. They're not normal. Can we just say that as followers of Jesus? Patience and kindness isn't normal. It's miraculous. Yeah.
I think taking a page out of Jesus' book too, being okay with being interrupted. And as someone who loves structure and is juggling a lot with our family and living by a schedule, I think about just what our lives would look like if we were okay with being interrupted and inconvenienced. Momco wrote a post this week that says, bring back inconveniencing yourself for others. Anyone can show up when it's convenient. Real relationships are formed in the moments that feel slightly inconvenient and cost time, comfort, energy, and effort.
Yeah, our lives are so structured, polished, but life is messy. People are dealing with things. And I think when we talk about inconvenience, again, can we right-size things? Inconvenience doesn't mean like I have to use a week of my vacation to go do this grand thing, a mission trip, or I'm building something like that. It could be that instead of going straight into my garage or driving past my neighbors, I stop and say, I haven't seen you outside in a long time. What's going on? Or to someone like Trader Joe's, you can tell it's just like slogging the day. And nobody's even realized that they're a human being. And you're like, hey, how's it going? Looks like you're having a hard day. I hope it's getting better. Inconvenience, yes, can be huge. It can turn your life upside down and you need to reorient everything. But it all could just be like a degree of living differently. And by the time you know it, months, years later, you're in a totally different direction. And so this is where I want to kind of wrap this up, and then I want to give us a time of reflection and communion that we're going to go into. Is that the reality is that we as a church, what I want for us, this is my dream, and I think this is because this is the dream of Jesus. That the church would be a place that not only you deepen your discipleship with Jesus, but you also make disciples. As you find Jesus, more and more you find more of his love, more of his grace, more of his mercy, more of his patience, his kindness, and his goodness. The more that is filled with you, the more that you must share with other people. Because it transforms you. As you find Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus. And as you are following Jesus, you begin to help people who haven't found Jesus find Jesus. This is the beautiful thing that the church has made to do. This is when it is not just linear, that it is cyclical. That as you grow deeper in your faith and your disciple Jesus, it should cause you to go further. That how come we are in a pool that is, you know, 20 feet deep, but only 6 inches wide, and nobody else can get in it with you? Nor should it be a mile wide and 6 inches deep. That as we grow deep, we also grow wide. This is the church. And this is the expectation. Like, I think this is what happens. It's not just like a hope and a prayer that we take some things in the Bible to being true. And then some things we're like, they're not true today. At the end of the text, you want to put up the last text slide? They broke together in their homes. Those are things that we can do. Together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, that's hard work. That's called transformation. When the things you can do meet the transformation that God can do, what happens? Anybody see it? Simple math. Take one plus the other and add it to the other. And the Lord added to their number daily. Take the things you can do. Combine them with the things that only God can do. And what will come out of that is a kingdom on the move. This is the church. And so as you think about this. I want you to have a couple of response questions for you to think about as we continue to respond in communion and respond in to worship and to the Holy Spirit. Who are you thankful that who are you thankful for that discipled you? I think you always got to start there. If you forget who discipled you, it's rarely you're going to move to the next step. And then who is one person that you might begin praying for as you step into discipling others? Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a family member. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, I'm thankful for the way that you are the same at the beginning of all creation as you are today. You are one who has the transforming power. Holy Spirit, thank you for meeting someone and their obedience to meet us. In the same way, Holy Spirit, would you meet us and say yes so that someone else might meet Jesus? Amen.